you and I, man, we did a show early on during the pandemic.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, you had some unbelievable insights into that, you know, all came to fruition. I keep noticing this now and nobody is talking about it. And the latest one was just a couple of days ago. Listen, man, I've been around for almost 62 years. I've seen a lot of celebrities come and go in my day. There is always a cause of death. Always. There always has been. In this past year, compared to the prior 61 years I've been on this planet, I have never seen so many celebrities, known people, suddenly pass away with no explanation. And the explanation doesn't come. Case in point, and I was just reading this today and I was like, what? Christine McVie.
Yeah.
Christine McVie died of a short illness. Well, I read a quote today from Stevie Nicks. Now, Stevie Nicks claims since she first met Christine McVie in 1975, this was her best friend. 1975, Mike, do the math. We're talking 50 years. So now Christine, Stevie Nicks, you know, made the statement when Christine McVie passed away that, you know, we tried to get to England. They told us to just sit tight. And then she said, I didn't even know she was sick. And I'm like, wait a minute. You've got a 50-year sisterhood with this woman. You didn't even know she was sick, that she literally is on her deathbed 2 days later. And we're constantly seeing this pattern of out of nowhere, you know, Gallagher, out of nowhere, these celebrities passing away and just no explanation, no cancer, no, they were battling with so-and-so for the last 10 years, nothing.
Yeah.
So my mind immediately goes to, bro, when we're talking celebrities, we're talking a select few. Now, if we multiply that by the masses, what do you make of that, Mike?
Well, it's one of the things that we have to consider, seriously consider, Vince, because they've put this new diagnosis out there called sudden adult death syndrome, SADS. Did you hear about this?
I have not. No.
Okay. All right. So SADS has come about because, in my opinion, because of the injections. Okay. So contrary to popular belief, a lot of people believe that that celebrities and entertainers and politicians and all, that when they took the injection, that they got a placebo. And I don't believe that that's true. I believe there are certain people, obviously, depending upon where they are in the pecking order, either didn't get the injection or they did receive a placebo, but many, many people took that injection, and that includes entertainers and celebrities. So the worldwide medical community coming out of the WHO, the World Health Organization, came up with this diagnosis called sudden adult death syndrome, where people just die. And we're not only seeing it in entertainment and with celebrities, events, but we're seeing it in sports, where, you know, we see ball players, tennis players, cyclists, they all of a sudden they're clutching their chest and, you know, they just roll over and die. And these are people who are healthy, by the way. So when we're talking about athletes, these are people who are healthy. So I think that what we are seeing is the result of people taking the injection. And not all injections are alike, because whenever I talk about this, people will say, well, how come not everybody's rolling over and dying or getting ill or has gotten injured from it. Well, that's because what they did was they rolled out different formulations. So there was a group out of the UK, I think it was the Enigma team, that was able to get their hands on the lot numbers and the batch numbers of the, I think it's the Pfizer and the Moderna mRNA-based injections. And they were able to do the analysis, take a look at the data, and they showed that certain lots or batches had a much, much higher level of death and injury associated with that lot or batch number versus others. So somebody would ask, well, you know, why would they do that? And when we talk about why, we're talking about people who control, right? The controllers. And it should be quite obvious to almost everybody today that there is an overarching control system that's in place that exceeds and goes beyond your government, whether you're in the United States or in Canada or in Europe, South America, it doesn't matter, right? There's an overarching control system that's in place. And the reason why they would disperse different batches and lots is because they want to be able to have plausible deniability. So in other words, there would be discussion where people would say, hey, I took two injections and a booster and I seem to be okay. And then there's other people that took one shot and had serious issues, two shots, very serious, or died. Or, you know, when I talk about serious issues, folks, I'm talking about neurological issues, pulmonary issues, cardio issues, you know, Guillain-Barré, which is paralysis, Bell's palsy. You know, the Pfizer and the Moderna mRNA-based injections are black boxed. And what that means is the insert has a black box around it, which says that these injections, I don't call them vaccines, because vaccines mean that you are immunized, and it's been proven now you are not immunized with these shots. Black box means that there is a very significant health risk or warning associated with these injections, and the very serious adverse reactions that could occur because of these shots is myocarditis and pericarditis. Basically, it's I'm going to oversimplify this, but it's the swelling of the heart and the heart muscle. And the problem with myocarditis, as an example, is they keep calling it, well, you can get mild myocarditis. And there are doctors and cardiologists that have stepped forward and said there is no such thing as mild myocarditis. It's like saying you are mildly pregnant. So people who have myocarditis, not everybody, but there are people that will run the risk as time goes on where they will have heart complications and where they may require a heart transplant because of it. But they don't want to tell people about this stuff. They just want to say it's mild, you know, eventually it will subside and all this stuff. So what they did was, you know, for plausible deniability, they didn't put the same formulations in every vial, in every injection, so that within the public arena, people would have the argument and the debate. People would tell me, oh, you're crazy, Mike, because I'm okay. And my answer to folks is if you took the shots, and especially if you took the boosters, right, that 5 to 10 years from now, don't be surprised if there are going to be complications. And these complications are going to be autoimmune based, pulmonary, cardio, neurological. And the thing that they've always done with vaccines is they never... If something happens to you down the line, 5, 10 years from now, they can never link it back to the injection. First of all, number one, they don't do it because they won't do it. Second of all, it's very difficult to do, even if you wanted to do it, because you would have to take a look at everything that's taken place in this person's life from the time that they took these injections to a decade later. You know, what was their diet like? Did they exercise? Genetically, you know, what are they predisposed to certain things and so on. This is the argument that they want to have. And this is how they run cover with these injections. But clearly, they are harmful. And there was a document that was leaked out of Pfizer. I covered this, like, I guess it was maybe late 2020 going into 2021, that was leaked out of Pfizer. And this document talked about Pfizer knowing that the injections, that the primary issue with them was that it affected the reproductive organs of men and women, infertility, sterilization. That's what the injections do. They sterilize. It's more prominent in women, but it also will affect men. So what happens is that then this calls into play the whole depopulation agenda, which has been discussed for a very long time by organizations like the World Economic Forum, by Bill Gates. I mean, he did a whole, like, I think he did a TEDx or TED discussion on depopulation, and people think that when you talk about this stuff that, you're some conspiracy tard, conspiratard, tinfoil hat wearer, when in fact, they're actually out there. Like you were saying before, they put it out there, they tell you the truth, and then it's up to you to be able to pick up on it. Are you awake and aware enough to pick up on what they're communicating to you? So this has been something they've been talking about for a long time. Many books have been written by them about the overpopulation crisis that the world was going to face. Now they're saying they are facing, and all of this. And so the injections, first and foremost, are a depopulation tool. That's what I think they are. And everything else after that is, as far as they're concerned, when I talk about the controllers, is icing on the cake.
Mike, how I've got to ask you, I got to ask you this question. Mike, I can't believe this happened to me. I was kidding around on YouTube, and I used the old saying, "Do we cheat them and how?" You're my age. That was the punchline. Do we cheat them and how? I actually used that phrase, "Do we cheat them and how?" I think I was talking about the Three Stooges or something. Bro, they striked me, took me down for like a month for fraudulent, passing along fraudulent information because cheat 'em, cheat 'em. No, nobody listened to the show. Obviously, that's not going to happen. But my point is something that minute, by using the phrase cheat 'em, they shut me down. How do you get this information out there? Because I know one-on-one, the few talks that we have, you have enlightened me on so many things. You're not a tinfoil hat wearing conspiracist, because everything you say comes to fruition. How, in the way the process is set up and the social media tools that we have, how are you able to get your information out there with what you do?
Well, it's very difficult, Vince. Let me tell you something. YouTube is useless as far as trying to get a counterpoint out if you dissent, if you don't agree. It's not an arena of ideas. YouTube is there to push an agenda. That's what they're there to do. So now, at one time, my main channel was monetized. YouTube demonetized me going back a couple of months ago. And that's why on my main channel, there's not a whole lot of stuff going up anymore. People have asked me, "Oh, Mike, how come you're not doing this, you're not doing that?" I said, "Well, I am doing this and doing that, but it's just not on YouTube anymore. I've got to do it on BitChute. I have to do it on Rumble. I have to do it on Brighteon and Odyssey." So I've spent a lot of time over the last few years getting people to redirect to these other platforms because, people get lazy. They're comfortable. I mean, let's face it, YouTube is easy to use. People are comfortable with it. They're familiar with it. And so that's where they want to spend their time. And I realize it's hard, to get people to move off the dime. But I can't do it on YouTube, Vince. They have gone back. I'm not kidding you. I did a show going back 8 years ago that was up on YouTube for 8 years. And they sent me an email and said, nope, taking that show down. It goes against our community guidelines. It's hate speech. I'm like, hate speech? First of all, we're not talking about hateful stuff. What are you talking about?
Right.
And then they always say in their emails, we think it violates our community. You think. What are you guessing? You either know or you don't know. But the thing is, it's a waste of time to try to take them on, because I'm convinced that even when you try to appeal, it's going into, it's going into a big black hole somewhere. Right? So I've got to go outside of YouTube to do this. And, they have left me alone for the most part with the Beatles stuff. So I haven't had any issues with the Beatles stuff. And the only time I've had an issue is if I'm talking about the Beatles like we're doing, right, like we did before when we first started the show, and then we segue into another topic. Right? Okay, you could talk about the Beatles and you could talk about the McCartney conspiracy and all that stuff. But as soon as you say something else, if you talk about the injections, you talk about whatever, then they're going to pull the video. They did pull a video on me on my Paul is Dead channel. I had a discussion with Billy Watson. And we talked about some other stuff, and I didn't think it was that bad, to be honest with you. I thought, okay, well, we were being careful because Billy, he's been censored as well. Didn't matter. So, they yanked the video.
Do you think with, Elon Musk taking over Twitter, do you think eventually maybe we'll see a change in these other formats? Maybe them being taken over by more, free thinking people? How do you think that's going to affect, the entire playing field?
Well, I think we have to be careful with Musk. Okay, so we have to understand that, Musk is in the club. Now, what I've explained to people is, there's a couple of things that could be going on. Number one, it could clearly be a psychological operation, right? So there are people like you and me that want the right things to get done. That's all we want. We just want the right things to be done, and we want to be left alone. That's all. I don't want to be surveilled. I don't want to be censored. Just let me live my life. Do no harm. And just be as productive as I possibly can with my family, your wife, your kids, and so on. That's all we want. They want to make it to be something else. They want it to, like we're some kind of radicals and fringe nut jobs that, are looking to, turn the world upside down on its head. When in fact, the people that are turning the world upside down are the people that are controlling. And there is a controlling entity, folks, like I said, So, what was your question again? I got myself kind of lost.
Oh, will the purchase of Twitter, that change the...
Yeah, so I've been asked that question before. I said, look, within the pyramid of power, there are different factions, and they don't always agree with each other. So, they are vying for position. They're vying to implement their strategy and how they want to go about things. And so, we obviously have this faction that just wants to, just lock everything down and everybody down. And then there's, I think there's a faction that says, okay, you know what? That's kind of like really over the top.
Right.
Right. So, we can control, but we can do it in a way that's not as obvious and in everybody's face. So I think that, Musk is probably playing that card, is what I think is going on. Right. Because on one hand, he's saying and doing a lot of things that sound good. And he has reinstated a lot of the Twitter accounts that were knocked out. I mean, there were those that were not yet. If you're going to have free speech, then it should be free speech. Free speech means that you can say what it is you want to say. Okay. It doesn't mean people have to listen to you. That's what it means. So if you want to be a nut job and you want to say stupid things, or what you perceive somebody else perceives to be stupid things, then, it's not my place to stop that person from being able to say those things, but it is my place to say, I'm not going to listen to it. and let them die on a vine. You know what I'm saying, Vince, right?
Yep, absolutely, yep.
As soon as you start cherry picking what you think is appropriate free speech, it's not free speech. So if Musk, what he needs to do is he needs to just, you know, he needs to put all of these people back on Twitter. Now, he did say if they have broken the law, that's a different story. Yes, that's a different story.
Right. Okay?
That's okay in my mind. But I don't know. There's a part of me that thinks that what could possibly be going on, Vince, is that they overplayed their hand in general with this whole COVID thing. Masks, lockdowns, what's essential, what's not essential as far as work goes, depriving people of the ability to work and make a living, blackmailing them. You either take that injection or we're going to let you go. We're going to fire you. I mean, think about what they did. See, that's the thing that people have to remember. Don't forget that stuff. Don't forget it. Because, you know, they did a lot of damage to a lot of people's lives. A lot. And so I think that what's happened is they got a lot more resistance and pushback from people like myself, you, and a lot of others that are saying, you know what, you know, I'm not going along with this, and I'm going to push back, and I'm going to be vocal, and I'm going to disseminate information. You know, I'm not going to buy your official narrative and your storyline, lock, stock, and barrel. You know, because I know it's a lie. I know it's a deception. I know what you're doing. Okay, it's not hard to see if you have some level of being awake. If you're asleep, you're a sleepwalker, then fine. You know, you're going to stay glued to that TV and you're going to consume everything that's coming out of the hypnosis box.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what happened was, even though, you know, we're probably in a minority, we're a very resilient and resourceful minority and calling things out. And many times what we're looking for is honest discussion and honest debate.
Mm-hmm. That's it. Yep.
We're not saying, hey, it's our way or the highway.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing that.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying, hey, if you don't follow what we're telling you to do, we're going to deplatform you. We're going to demonetize you. We're going to shut you up. We're going to eliminate your voice. And as far as I know, all we're asking for is, let's have an honest discussion about this.
Yeah.
So there's something very interesting that took place the other day. I'm glad you brought this up. I was watching it this morning. It's on my blog this morning. So Rand Paul had a press conference with about a half a dozen other senators. And what they said was they're not going to vote to renew the NDAA, the National Defense Act, which is kind of the holy scripture of the United States being able to do whatever it needs to do to surveil and go to war. Unless the Biden administration removes the mandates for the military. And it was a very, very interesting press conference. And I have about 25 minutes of it up on my blog. And they talked about how it has to be a personal choice. That they said what they did with the military with these injections, they have brought the enlistment numbers down to a number that they haven't seen this low in 50 years. That's what they said.
Yeah.
And they lost thousands of personnel, many of which are very skilled and resourced. I mean, you're going to lose your Navy SEALs. You're going to lose your fighter pilots. You're going to lose people who are saying, hey, you know what?
Yeah.
No way, man. I mean, you're not going to tell me what to put in my body, okay? I'll decide what to put in my body. And then, of course, you know, when it all came out that this wasn't immunizing anybody, that people who took the injection were still coming down with, quote, COVID. And now, you know, you have to get boosters. And then they're talking about, hey, you know what? Now it's an annual thing like the flu shot.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. Yep.
Initially, people have to remember that what they told the public was one shot and you were done.
Yep.
That's like polio, like smallpox, right? That's what they told everybody. didn't happen. And then they just continued to lie for almost 3 years now. So they had this press conference, and I'll tell you what, they said they're not going to sign the NDAA. They're not going to renew it unless that comes out. And I thought to myself, this is unbelievable, Vince, because this is going to open up a can of worms that is, I mean, it's just going to spill over. Think about it.
Yeah.
How about all the people now that work for corporations, and the corporation said, you've got to take this injection because if you don't, you can't work here.
Right. Yep.
So now there's going to be lawsuits because people are going to say, hey, you admitted that you did the wrong thing by the military.
Right.
And now you're all saying, hey, you know, it's your personal choice. Yes, and religious exemptions mean something. That's the other thing that the press conference was talking about. They're saying religious exemptions mean something. And what the military did was they completely disregarded them.
Yeah.
They took them and they threw them into the circular file. They completely disregarded the rule of law. And so now this, I don't know, Vince, this is going to spill, I think, into the private sector, because this is just going to open up the door.
Yeah.
Because if it's applicable to the military, mm-hmm. why isn't it applicable to business yeah. and to other federal institutions and organizations that employ people?
Yeah.
I think the answer is it's not any different.
Yeah.
You know? So I think what's happening now is that a lot of these politicians just sat by. They sat idle. They sat on their hands. They just let everything just move along. They kept saying, oh, we're going to defer to the CDC and the FDA and the WHO. You know, I'm not a doctor, you know. Like, no, nobody used any common sense. Nobody used their God-given gift of intellect and reason mm-hmm. to sort through this thing. They just rolled over as if they didn't exist, because really they didn't exist. We could have just vacated the Congress.
Yeah.
They didn't do anything, right?
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden, so I think something did not go the way it was supposed to go. I believe they wanted everybody injected by the end of 2021. And you know, and that didn't happen. There's still large portions of the population that refuse to go along with the program. So I think it's damage control. I think they're in damage control right now. And then we have that whole Balenciaga with the, you know, with the photos that are, yeah. you know, we're talking about child trafficking and stuff like that. You know, there's a lot of information that's coming out. You see, this is the thing. People will say to me, you know, do you really think evil exists? I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. Just take a look around. Yes, evil exists. And so this is a battle, you know, Vince. I've told people for the longest time, it's a battle, it's a spiritual battle between the light and the dark, yep. between good and evil. And you've got to step up to the plate.
Yeah.
And it can be very difficult. I mean, it seems easy to just put your head, stick your head in a hole like an ostrich and do nothing and think that somebody else is going to come to your rescue or somebody else is going to do something for you. The only person that's going to save you is you.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, people ask me, well, you know, don't you get concerned sometimes about doing the work that you do? I mean, what's the alternative? What's the alternative? I mean, I take a look at what they're trying to do. I don't want to live in that world.
Yeah.
World of lockdowns, world of facial recognition, the world of digital currency where, you know, they could just turn off your funds, your income, your ability to get to your money by just a flip of a switch. And people say, oh, you know, that wouldn't happen. What are you talking about? I'm like, what do you mean? What am I talking about? Take a look at what happened in Canada with the truckers.
Yeah.
Right. They identified certain people who they deemed to be the, you know, the point people who were the leaders of those convoys, and they turned their bank accounts off.
Yep. Yep.
You know? So anyway, I mean, I don't know how deep you want to get into all of this, you know, because I can get very, very deep into it. And I can't put this on YouTube, by the way. So this will wind up.
I know. I was just wondering, man, I hope I didn't kill Mike.
No, don't even worry about it.
Yeah.
There's very few things I could talk about these days that YouTube will entertain, you know. Like I said, I think they're just chomping at the bit, or they were at one time to eliminate my channel. I had two strikes at one point, going back a couple of years ago, when I was doing a lot of hosting and talking to a lot of people and getting into a lot of these topics, you know. And I switched up gears a little bit because after a while, the hosting bit becomes, you know, how do I say this? I don't want to say it's not boring, but it becomes too routine.
Yeah, yeah.
And sometimes you need to shift things up because you yourself personally as an individual want to take on different topics or go about it in a different way, you know. So like in 2021, I was doing my Clown World news bits, you know, which were kind of fun. But, you know, then that ran its course. And the Beatles stuff just continues to take up a lot of my time.
Oh, Mike, it's always fascinating, man. I'm so happy you reached out and we did this again, man. It's been way too long.
Yeah, no, anytime, Vince, you know. And but how about with you now? You know, we've been talking a lot about my stuff, but how's the wrestling world doing?
I'm gonna give you, I know you are a very busy man. I do want to say this. I'm gonna give you a little bit of a homework assignment. There is a fascinating 3-part documentary on Peacock right now that relates to wrestling. It's called Dangerous Breed. Okay, that's what it's called. Have you heard of this?
No.
Okay. It's about a wrestler by the name of Teddy Hart, who is from the world famous Hart family. You know, Bret Hart, the British Bulldog, Owen Hart. And in Canada, they're royalty. I mean, they really are like a royal family in Canada. And Teddy Hart was like the next generation of the Hart wrestlers. There, a camera followed this dude around for 10 years. So this is a documentary over a 10-year span. And I got to tell you guys something, man. There are so many people, and this is the what makes my stomach turn, Mike. That they look at the wrestling business through rose-colored glasses. Oh, it's Hulk Hogan and it's The Rock and it's no, that's not what it is at all. There is a black underbelly to professional wrestling that has been there from day one. And as a matter of fact, if you want to ask me the percentage of the good guys and the bad ones, honestly, bro, I would say it's 85% bad, because the good ones, Mike, they happen to get weeded out and they're on the outside looking in and you're blackballed and everything like that because you call it for what it is, and I'm one of those people. But if you really want an understanding of this business and professional wrestlers in general and who they are and how they make their money and the scams and the working people, I mean literally out of their riches, This is the documentary to look at. And I want people to understand, and you too, Mike, if you look at this, this is not an individual. This is the majority. That's why I am sitting here on the outside and I want no part of it. That is why I left. But if you want a real feel for what the business is all about, this is the documentary to watch. I mean, we see, you know, it is caught up with Vince McMahon. You know, it was just a matter of time before that happened. I can't believe it went on so long, but it's almost like, Mike, you know, wrestling is a cult. What happens in the locker room stays in the locker room. I can't tell you how many women that I worked with in the business contacted me about things that were done to them. And, you know, but because it was that fraternity, and here's what they make you believe. If you say anything, You will never work in this business again. And if you don't ever work in this business again, your life will amount to nothing, zero. So they put the fear of God in you while they're, you know, while they're doing things they shouldn't be doing. And this documentary, which is not, you know, funded by any wrestling company or anything, this really gives you an insight into the business. You should take a look at it, because I think it'll blow your socks off.
I'll definitely watch it, Vince. You know, as you're speaking, I'm thinking to myself, this dark underbelly, it just seems to be everywhere.
It is. Casey Anthony, you know, listen, man, that just came out on Peacock as well. Bro, people are still calling her a liar. But I got to tell you, Mike, here's the part with me that I'm like, wait a minute. Bro, everybody said she was guilty. The press, Nancy Grace, they were painting the picture that this mother killed her child. That was the narrative. There was no defense of her, of Casey Anthony. So yesterday I'm watching this documentary, and it goes really, really, really deep, Mike. But the bottom line is, while everybody had her convicted, bro, there was a plea bargain on the table. 20 years. She was a young girl. She was what, 22 years old? Plea bargain. 20 years, you'll be out. She said, no way. I'm not signing a plea bargain. I didn't do it. I will go to jail for the rest of my life and fight for myself for the rest of my life before I sign this plea bargain. Bro, that's not a guilty person to me. But again, what you really take away from this, Mike, and we see it every day, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. The picture the media painted that made you as the viewer only come to one conclusion. And I think, you know, the good thing is, the slowly but surely, these things are starting to come to the surface. And like you said, Mike, more and more people are now opening their eyes and understanding, wait a minute, there's another side to this. You have to ask the questions. They just put the fear of God in us. This makes me laugh too, Mike. I go hysterical with the people that are gonna leave Twitter because Elon Musk took over, but they're still on Twitter. Remember,
of course.
Remember all the celebrities that were going to Canada if Trump got elected.
Right.
Remember the whole list.
Right.
Oh, that drives me nuts. But you know, the positive I think out of all this is, people that weren't asking questions before are asking questions now. And it's when you watch. Did you watch the Spectre doc on Showtime?
No.
Oh, you got it. You'll love that. The Beatles are in that a lot. There's a lot of Beatles in that. Yeah, that's on Showtime right now. And it's just looking at the other side of things, because there was one narrative, and man, you believe this narrative for 10, 20, 30. It's the, you know, same situation with Billy and Paul. I mean, there's a narrative, you know.
The world is filled. It runs on official narratives.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah.
That's the thing. There are stories that are out there, and, you know, and I've always told folks, they'll say, well, it's well documented. It's just a well documented story. I mean, it's right. I mean, we could talk about the JFK assassination and, you know, Lee Harvey Oswald. We're told that the single bullet theory as an example. Right. Now, most critically thinking people realize that, you know, that story is a story. There's a lot more to it. I'll just leave it there, right? But it's well documented. There, you know, what they want you to believe is well documented. But because something is well documented does not mean it's true.
Yeah.
That's what people have to understand, you know? And sometimes people have a hard time getting their heads wrapped around the fact that, you know, people that are in power and have influence are not truthful. They have agendas.
Agenda. There's always an agenda. Yes.
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 Yes. Yeah. And you know, they don't care if certain people get thrown under the bus, or you know, they wind up being a patsy. They can care less, you know? So yeah, I'm gonna have to watch it though. I'll watch the Spectre one because you know
Yeah, you'll love that.
that'll be interesting. But Dangerous Breed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Mike. I'm telling and I'm telling people like they think, oh, they're looking at Teddy Hart like, oh my God. No, this is the norm. This
Yeah.
and Mike, here's the finish of that story. He worked a lot of women into literally handing their finances over to him. And that's what all wrestlers do. It's a work. That's what they do for a living, Mike. They're working the audience to make you believe this is real. But
Yeah.
that becomes who they are. So now when they're out there among the general public, they're working. They're always looking for something. Well, Mike, the end of this story is one of the women, that he, worked and brought into his world and brought into his universe has been missing for the last 6 years.
Oh boy.
Nobody knows where she is. And it's eye-openers.
Yeah.
The Casey Anthony, man,
But isn't it amazing, Vince, how somebody can be missing for 6 years and what's being done about it? Nobody.
Exactly, right, exactly. Mike, I don't know if you ever heard this or not. I heard this for the first time, and maybe I wasn't following it as closely as I thought I was. But the Casey Anthony case. Well, remember when they found little Kaylee? She was wrapped in a blanket, duct tape wrapped around her, put in trash bags. Okay, bro, her brother came forward and said, when we were kids and one of our pets would die, that's how my father would bury him. Duct tape, blank, like the same exact way. And then you've got her father in an interview that has never been seen before stating, I have to ask for forgiveness. I have to be forgiven for what I did. Well, what did you do, dude? Like, all of a sudden, this stuff is resurfacing now? Bro, this was 12 years ago. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
I don't, you know, Vince, we're living in a time now where more and more stuff is emerging. It's surfacing. Like you said, more and more people are asking questions. Even if they're not like what you would consider like awake, there is an awareness now. I'll phrase it that way. There's an awareness now where you're like, you know, hold on a second. That doesn't make any sense to me. Or I've got a couple of questions I'd like to ask before you think I'm going to drink your Kool-Aid, you know? So it's a good thing. It is. It's a very difficult time for people to go through. There's no question about it, you know? But if we're ever going to get things on the right track, then we have to go through this process. You have to go through it.
And we have been and that's the good out of all of this, I think.
I agree. Well, I could tell you it was
I
great
love it, Mike. I love talking.
catching up with you, Vince. It was just a discussion, folks. You know, we didn't really have an
No, never.
agenda. We knew
I
we would
don't.
talk a little bit about the Beatles and stuff like that, but you know, we said we would talk about whatever. So,
I'm so I
well.
I'm just man, I really go back to seeing you for the first time and then us forming a relationship. I really am, Mike. I am so happy that I have someone like you, in my life that I can have these conversations with. It really means the world to me, man.
Same to me, Vince. Fellow Long Islander, Center Reach. I was right there too. Right? Was Center Reach,
Bro,
was it?
Center Reach Bowling Alley. That's where, bro, that's where I heard about Paul for the first time. The Center Reach Bowling Alley, bro. That's it. I didn't want to get that specific. I didn't think you'd know.
Very familiar with the area. Very familiar, you know. So, well, Vince, it's been an absolute pleasure, and you have a wonderful Christmas and New Year, and we will catch up more often and
Yeah,
have
we
these types of
need to, man.
discussions.
We really need to, Mike. We really need to. I swear. I have my album collection is up to 4,000 albums.
Oh my God.
But
Okay.
my Mike albums are separate. And I want you to know how much I cherish those. I mean, I really, really do. Every time I play them, the way I handle them. So I want you to know every time I go, it has a separate section. Every time
oh,
I go,
does it really?
Every time I go there, I think of you, man. Yes.
I sent Vince some albums, folks. I have a large record collection myself. And I have a Beatles record collection that I think rivals just about
I'm sure.
most people's.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So I was thinking about you the other day, too, because I told my wife, I said, I really have to, go through a lot of these records. You know, I'm going to be 64 in January. I don't know what it is. You start thinking as you get older.
I'm the same. Yeah.
It's like, well, what am I doing with all this stuff, And but I have some records that I think that you'll really
oh wow
enjoy. I mean, good ones too. I mean, as far as being not the run of the mill Beatles types of records.
Yeah. My wife, when I hit 4,000, she tried to institute a rule, Mike, and she came up with this rule. Okay, every time you get a new album now, you've got to sell one. And I'm like, that's not happening anytime.
Yeah.
That's just not happening. Yeah.
I also have a very large guitar collection. And so I started selling off some of the guitars as well, because like I said, it got to the point where I'm thinking, this is an addiction.
Yeah. I'm guilty. When's your birthday, Mike? January what?
January 6th.
Okay. I'm the 24th.
Are you really the 24th?
Yeah.
So you're at Aquarius.
Yes.
Yeah, kind of on the cusp.
Yeah.
You're just into the Aquarian zodiac sign. Yeah.
But Mike, thank you so much for, man, we definitely do have to do this more often, man.
We do, Vince. Yeah. We do. And we'll catch up. Maybe we'll catch up in January. We'll do kind of a dual birthday.
Oh, that's
good.
Absolutely. Just let me know, man. I always know, man, but trust me, man, I always know how busy you are because I just, bro, the time you put into these presentations, nobody does what you do in any field. I'm sorry, man. I watch a lot of YouTube. I watch a lot of people. Nobody comes near the research that you do. So like, I always know if you're not doing a show, you're doing research for a show. So anytime, man, just call me up, man. I'm ready to go.
Yeah. Thank you, Vince. Yeah, no, and thank you for acknowledging that because folks will ask me, they'll say, well, you haven't come out with something. You have no idea how long it takes to put this stuff together.
Oh, God. There's no,
Yeah. You got to dot the I's and cross the T's because, with the work that I'm doing, there's a bunch of vultures out there.
Yep.
They're just waiting for you to make a mistake.
Yeah,
and absolutely. Every once in a while you do make a mistake, because you're human, but you really do try to, cover all your bases to make sure that when you go out there and you present this type of material, that you do it as accurately and as honestly as you possibly can. That it takes time.
It's so funny because on Thanksgiving, I only have one child here in Colorado. My other two kids are out of state, but my son, 25 years old, musician, big Beatles fan, Thanksgiving. I was like, his name is VJ. I call him VJ. I'm like, VJ, you won't believe what Mike is uncovered. On Thanksgiving Day, I'm sitting him in front of the TV. And, Mike, he's listening to your guest. And, I'm seeing a little bit of an eye roll. And, Mike, I swear, I'm saying, bro, wait for the slides. He's got pictures. He's got video. No, wait for the slide. So, I hope you understand all the work you're putting into it. There are people like me just really, really, really appreciating it, man.
Well, and look, I tell my audience, this is getting really weird.
Right.
Okay? It's not like I'm sitting there going, oh, I just love this,
right. No, and you say that numerous times. You say that numerous times, man, but it's great.
There's times I look at it, I'm like, God, this is so bizarre,
I know.
And am I really going to talk about this?
Yeah, you could tell that with the last one. We start getting in the left eye and the right eye and it's...
Oh, my God.
It's great.
So,
yeah.
All right, Vince. Again, absolute pleasure to speak to you.
You too, Mike. Thank you very much. Have a great, great, great holiday. We'll speak in January.
We will.
Okay.
And you have a great evening.
Okay, Mike. Take care, man.
Bye-bye, my friend.
gonna get it? When you gonna get it? Your telephone all this time with little to show. Gotta be a daddy who did you wrong, making you feel like you didn't belong. When you gonna get it? When you gonna get it? Get it.